This is Cammie Brown, Beauty Earth.
Hi, Cammie. This is Don.
Port Ludlow Drainage District Recorder. Hello, Don.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm here.
Okay,
doing
good.
Great. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Things are really, really busy, so that's good, huh?
Exactly. Yeah. Let's see. So as soon as Deborah's on, we get to start.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see.
So, Don, you
guys
do
get
need
in.
Do you need to go over the process for going into executive session?
Well, I wouldn't hurt, but I thought we were I just needed to announce that we were beginning an executive session. Candidates or the public wasn't allowed, and we would reconvene once we were out of session. Do I need to do any more now?
Yes. You need to state the RCW why you're going into executive session. Do you have that?
Good morning, all. This is Don Forbes, Chair of the Port Ludlow Drainage District Commission, and I am calling to order our special meeting for September 22nd, and this meeting will include an executive session. The time is 11:35 a.m. We are operating under the Governor's Proclamation 2028, which waives and suspends portion of RCWs that require in-person meetings. So this will be a telephone-only meeting. For the record, we have six agenda items today. I'll go ahead and quickly run through those before we actually proceed. First item will be call to order, which I just did, followed by roll call agenda approval. The agenda itself, which has three items, impact, the changes to Jefferson County financial system and potential impact to the district and budget considerations, staffing requirements associated with the administrative needs of the district, and then an executive session. Item five will be signing the documents, which can be done within five business days of this meeting, and then finally meeting adjournment. So with that overview, I will call for roll. The commissioner one position is open. I'm Don Forbes, commissioner two.
Deborah Hellison, commissioner three.
Thank you. We're now on item four, which is the agenda itself. I'm sorry, we're on item three, which is approval of the agenda. So do I have approval to approve the agenda as I had briefly described it previously?
I make a motion to approve the agenda as presented, noting that the executive session will be to review candidate resumes and references.
Thank you. And I'll second that. So all those approve or in favor of approving the agenda signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, we have an approved agenda. So the first item on the agenda, why don't we just take one or A and B, both, Deborah, if you like, because they seem to work together. So first one, item A is the financial system and impact on the workload of the district, and item B is staff requirements, tasks, workload, costs, job descriptions, and qualifications.
Yes, thank you. I just want to confirm that Cammie is on the call.
I am, Cammie Brown.
Okay. I just wanted to confirm that. I had not heard you chime in on the roll call. I might have not heard it. So we have received notice from Jefferson County Auditor that they will be changing over to a new system for recording and reporting the small district's financial information. And the most notable thing is that the auditor is reviewing their role and is making sure that they're not put in a position where it is thought that they're doing more or providing specifically kind of oversight for the small districts such as ours. So there will no longer be kind of a check and balance between what we send into them and what comes back to us. And I don't think all the details are totally worked out. They're still kind of doing some beta testing of the system. And so we've got until January, I think, to be learning more about what this is going to be. But I can tell you that right now, the process with which we have the invoices from our vendors sent to the county and then the check sent out is going to be a little different. And I have gone over this with Cammie just to give her kind of a heads up. We would still be sending in a voucher summary with our signatures, but prior to that, we will be responsible for updating the actual invoices, not the invoices, but the information from the invoices into an Excel spreadsheet that the county is going to provide us a template for. So we will be inputting the data into the financial system rather than the county doing it. I think the way it's going to work, and Cammie, in the minutes, make sure this is not recorded as this is the way it's going to work, but just a discussion of what I've been told to date, that once we upload that information on this Excel spreadsheet, the county will cut the checks to our various vendors, and then we will be able to pick up those checks once we have provided documentation that the commissioners approved each one of those invoices, and we will continue to do that through our voucher summary. So I think the main thing that is unclear to me at this point is what the timing of all this will be. If it might be good for us, it actually might get the checks to our vendors a little bit sooner, but until we really see their calendar and how it's all going to work, we won't know that for sure. But then the monthly report that they have sent us has given us a comparison of the money spent against our budget. So it's been a really nice running account of each of our accounts and how much we have, how much our expenditures are in each one of those accounts, such as legal, recording secretary, engineering, et cetera. And my understanding is that we will no longer get those detailed general ledger reports, but again, that's my understanding right now. It isn't, it hasn't really been relayed to us exactly what we will see or won't see. I'm also making an assumption, since all of this is coming out of the auditor's office, that the financial summary that we get at the end of the month from the treasurer office will continue, because that really tells us what our assets are, what our liabilities are, and gives us our balances. Since it's going to be a new software system, there may be a change to that format, but I would assume that information is still going to be prepared for us. But next couple months, I'm sure we'll learn quite a bit more about it. So what it means to us right now is maybe not 100% clear. We have been relying on these reports from the auditor's office to really kind of guide us in terms of where we're at throughout the year on our budget. And that will be different. We'll have to put some more time and effort into reconciling our budget against our expenditures more frequently ourselves and not just checking what the county sends back to us. And then, like I said, the logistics of how we do the voucher summaries, get the checks. We will have to mail them ourselves, and all that's going to require a little bit more time and effort. But
may I ask a question at this point? I understand that we won't be getting those monthly reports in all likelihood, but will the information still be available, the raw information, so we could go in and construct our own?
Well, I think the raw information will be what we supply to them. So, you know, we are the ones that put the codes for each of our vendor invoices. So I am envisioning that we will create some kind of Excel spreadsheet. And when we do the monthly vendor or the voucher summary, that information that's on there, we will then transfer into a running account in this Excel spreadsheet so that instead of the county entering it into that type of a general ledger, we will be the ones doing it, and it will be confined to just our district. If the county won't see it, you know, it won't be shared with anybody else, but it will be the district's responsibility to maintain that.
Okay, thanks.
I hope I explained that right. It will essentially become an internal document that we are responsible for maintaining, and I think an Excel spreadsheet will be the appropriate system for doing that.
Good, thank you.
Agenda item B, staff requirements. I'm thinking beyond just the new requirements we will have for the change in the county's financial support. This has really come as, the fact that for the last 9 months, I've been doing a lot of the work with CAMI in terms of, you know, what does it really take to keep the district operating smoothly, and what are all of the administrative requirements that are put on us because we are a special district, because we are a government entity. So there's a lot of individual tasks, and there's a lot of paperwork that's generated, and there's a lot of paperwork that gets stored, and we don't always in the past we haven't had a really what I would consider efficient method of taking care and following up on all of these tasks. Prior to my joining the commission, there was a part-time clerk secretarial position whose job really was to kind of keep tabs on what was coming up, what needed to be done, organizing the meetings, organizing agendas, filing paperwork as it was generated, etc. And from what I saw in the file rooms, I think that work was very well organized. And in the last couple of years, the organization hasn't been as straightforward, and it's harder to get information just because nothing was really written down. No procedures were in place. No policies were in place, kind of talking about how we do all of these different tasks that are required of us. So I think there's been a little bit of compliance questions in my, from me, as to, you know, have we done a good job of being able to keep the district going regardless of what, as commissioners move in and out, you know, the district should be able to kind of stand on its own two feet, and commissioners should have information available to them as they need it. So the thing that I've identified, the task that I've identified as the most critical and immediate concern from my perspective has been records retention. And how do we store records, and what is the best methodology for us to use to be able to retrieve them and to follow the guidelines regarding storing, archiving, and eventually destroying records. And so I have kind of created in a position that I would like to discuss with you, Don, of called a records retention clerk, because I see this as a really critical part of understanding and being able to see not only the history, but to be able to look forward and say, okay, what is required of us as commissioners? We're kind of a virtual operation. We don't have an office. So the idea of having paper files seems a little arcade to me. It seems like we should be looking forward to a more accessible way of accessing documents. And to me, that would be electronic. So that, Don, if you're working out of your office for this meeting, I'm working out of my home for this meeting, or any time during the month and we need to retrieve a document to give us some background or tell us when we last did something, that we can do that. We don't have to try to track down a key and try to find a paper file in a locked storage area that neither of us have good access to. So I don't know what your thoughts have been, Don, but that's probably the one thing that's been the most frustrating for me, is if I want to see yard dogs' contracts, how do I get to it? If I want to, you know, look at how the annual report was done last year or the year before so that I can prepare it for this year, you know, how do I find that format and how it was filled in before. So it's a teaching process. So that's what I would propose, is that we create a temporary position, part-time position, to have someone come in and really organize and look at the best way to make the files accessible and at the same time compliant with the state requirements.
Thank you. Let me share a few thoughts. First of all, as commissioners, our responsibility is to provide oversight, not necessarily direct service. So a parallel to what you're saying is that if we attempted as commissioners to do everything necessary on the engineering side, we would not have an engineering consultant. We would attempt to do all of that engineering ourselves, and that's just simply not only impractical, but not in the spirit of providing oversight. And so what you're suggesting is that we also on the administration side get out of the specific task of providing the direct service and provide oversight. So I absolutely agree with that. I also agree with your notion that we should be moving to electronic filing system. As a case in point, in my professional life right now, I'm a part of a legal team on a major construction lawsuit, and we just received 700,000 documents of discovery. And they're all electronic, but had they been in paper form, there's just simply no way to go through those. So fact of life is, in this modern era, electronic copies allow much more efficient data recovery, data search, data recovery, than going through files and files of paper documents. So I also agree with your notion that that's important. And then finally, I agree that we should proceed with this on a temporary basis, and I don't see that anything is required of a vote per se. I think we should just do this, and if we find that it is working to your satisfaction, since you'll be providing the direct oversight on this, then we can eventually make that a permanent position. So I'm absolutely on board with what you're suggesting here.
Great, thank you. So let me just take a couple minutes to outline this for the record of what this position would be. It would be a records retention clerk. It would be structured such that we would hire an individual who had the qualifications of being able to identify and set up an electronic filing system, someone who has the ability to work independently, since, again, we don't have an office, and this is identifying a lot of new procedures, which that person would also be required to write up the procedures and the policies so that this would be able to move forward regardless of who's in the position. This person would be working closely with CAMI, since CAMI is the one that generates most of or a good portion of our documents. So it would be CAMI will continue to be generating documents. The handoff would then go to this records retention clerk for the storage of it, and if there's any time for retrieval, to train the commissioners as well as CAMI as in terms of retrieval. If there's ever a public records request, this person, again, would have procedures in place to tell us, you know, how to access these files. So I think it's kind of a three-step process. First would be to assure that this person took the training, all of the state required training, and also just state available training on records retention, and also educate themselves on the Public Records Act. I think there's some very good resources out of the Secretary of State Archives and also the MRSC that would provide the proper training for this person. Once they've taken the training, they will educate themselves on working again with CAMI and I as to what kind of files we actually generate, what kind of documents, and then outline, put together the system that they would propose the district move to. It might be a combination of some of what we already do on our website. There may be some opportunities to use our email accounts for better record keeping. And there may be a requirement for some kind of a software system, whether it's Excel or something more sophisticated. We just leave it up to that person to come up with recommendations once they have had an opportunity to, you know, to look at what our needs are. And then once that's been brought to the commissioners of how to organize the files, then this person would actually do the migration and start the filing process. It's, the district's been around for 20 years, so there are lots of files. At this point, I would say that we're kind of starting at 2020, 2019, work our way backwards. It's more important for me to make sure that everything we've generated in 2020, that's the first documents that go into this system, and then we'll go back to 2019 and 2018, depending upon where we're at in both time and money. So I think it's something that we could, if we hire the right person and start on this right away. We do have several thousand dollars still in the budget from a clerk position that has not been used in 2020. So I would say that we use that money to fund this position, this task, to the end of the year. And then for the 2021 budget, we put in money to continue this task, and also at that point we would be able to make a decision, as you said, Dawn, do we make this a permanent rather than a temporary position, see how it's working. And perhaps identify, you know, the next step of keeping this going and making us a little bit more organized and compliant. So that would take care of the budget. It would be off of professional services clerk. And I think that once we've identified the person, we could start work on it right away.
Excellent. Thank you for that overview. Tammy has any questions or comments, I'm prepared to go to the next item, which is executive session. But Tammy, is there anything that you'd like to add or ask questions about?
I do. I was looking at, I also want training, retention, so that I know how to work with the person that's doing the records retention position, and I think that's important. Who will be supervising this particular person? So will it be me or will it be Deborah? Commissioner
Ellis. So, Tammy, yeah. Cami, you know, at the beginning of this year, we put in place a resolution. Actually, it was at the end of the previous year, 2019. We had a resolution for administrative, there was an administrative oversight, there was engineering oversight, et cetera, and that's kind of a revolving position. So, the delegation for 2020 was that I was responsible for oversight of the administrative part of the district business, okay, and Dawn is for the engineering and maintenance. So at least for the next 3 months, you know, I think it would be me. I would not ask you to be a supervisor, but I would ask you to work very closely with this person, and that's why I would also consider your being involved in the interviewing process. We can talk about that a little bit more, and also consider something that had been discussed in 2019 of moving our records to your Port Ludlow office so that it would be more convenient for this person to start organizing our files, but it would also require, you know, your permission and your feeling comfortable with that person having access to your file there or your office there at Port Ludlow. Mm-hmm. And of course, we would compensate you for that.
I don't have any problem with the commissioners using my office or storing their records there. I have room for that, and whatever the commissioners would like me to do, I certainly would do that. So I'm in favor of that, and I have no further questions.
All right, thank you. Well, at this time, we will move into executive session. Let me give a little bit of overview for the record on that. Purpose of this executive session will be to evaluate candidate resumes and references and potentially make a decision on the candidate. We will be operating under RCW 42-30-110, and therefore it will be a non-public session. So once I declare executive session in process, we will be turning off the recorders. I would expect that we would be in session approximately 20 minutes. I'll announce when we're back out of executive session, and we will turn on the recording again, and the remainder of our meeting will be available to the public. The people who will be in the session will be the two commissioners and our recording secretary. So with that as an overview, it is now 12:05, and I would ask that we turn off the recording and begin our executive session.
Commissioner?
Yes.
Will there be any action?
As I mentioned, I would expect that we could make a decision today, but it depends on what we determine out of the resumes, whether we need to take one more step before we make a final decision. So I would expect action, but I'll make a summary once we return to a public session on what we would expect as the next step.
Is anything else before I turn off the recording?
Not for me.
Not for me.
All right.
Once again, this is Don Forbes. I'm the chair of the Port Ludlow Drainage District. We have just come out of executive session, and the time is 12:26. By way of summary, we were discussing candidate resumes, references, with an expectation that we would be able to either make a singular decision or reduce the number of candidates for final consideration. It was our decision out of this that we have while all candidates were strong and could have done the job, we have two that we'd like to go forward with for final interviews. And Commissioner Ellison has the authority to not only interview both people to make the final selection as well and present her decision at our regularly scheduled October meeting. Before we continue on, either of the you two have additions to what I just said relative to the executive session?
I have none. This is Cammy Brown.
I have none.
Okay. Item 5, signing the documents. We made no additions or no decisions that required any final recording and or signing the documents, so we'll waive that item. Unless there's other items that are critical, because we have a limited agenda with special sessions, I'd ask for a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I'll second. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right, we're adjourned, and the time is 12:28. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.